Good morning. Last week we discussed the concept of Masarev Lavi Ladin, that although the Isser of Arkois is very Chomer, Mecharev, Megadev, and here Miabater is Moshe, if you try to bring your counterparty to Beis Din and he refuses, the halacha is his Masarev Lavi Ladin, Beis Din will give a Heter Arkois. Beis Din will give you permission to pursue your claim in civil court. Now, as we discussed, you need to send a hazmana, you need to go through a Beis Din and get a formal heter akois. The fact that it's in a private conversation, the person told you, I'm not interested in Beis Din, will not be enough. You'll have to actually send a hazmana and get reshus from the Beis Din, and you'll have to get an actual heter akois. As we also pointed out last week, that Beis Din will bend over backwards not to give you this heter. If there is any way to get a Din Torah, even if the other party wants to go to a Beis Din, which is, you know, he insists on a Beis Din that he does not have the halachic right to force, still, as long as it's a legitimate Beis Din and he doesn't seem to be playing games, there the halacha is we will not give heter arkois, as we'd prefer it going to a Beis Din. And very often people involved in Din Torah have complaints that they're trying to arrange a Din Torah, and it drags, and it drags, and it drags. So certainly, it shouldn't, and certainly a Beis Din should put an end to it. But the reason why they are dragging their feet is that in halacha, you are supposed to bend over backwards to try to arrange any Din Torah over letting it go to Arkois, and over it being a potential Chil Hashem. Now, we also pointed out that according to some Poskim, that before Beis Din issues a heter arkois, they have to know that you actually have a valid claim. If you have a valid claim, the guy won't come to Beis Din, so we have no choice. We send you to arkois in order to enforce your rights. But if the Beis Din doesn't know whether, in fact, you are correct, there are poskim that held you cannot get a heter arkois. The minhag today is not like that. Many achronim argue, and they say that if that would be the halacha, then it would be impossible. Since any ganiv would just refuse to go to Beis Din, it is usually not an open shut case, and you'd have chaos. There'd be no way to protect your rights. And therefore today, and this is the minhag of Batei Din, is they will give a heter arkois once the other person is mesarev. The Marshag explains that we pointed out that you can't just take matters into your own hand. You have to send a hazmana and you need a reshus from Beis Din. The Marashag says one of the reasons why you need Rishus, the reason why you have to be talking to a Beis Din, is the Beis Din will ask some questions and make sure that your claim makes sense. If your claim is just frivolous, or if it's clearly wrong as a matter of halacha, they will not give a heter arkois even if the person refuses to come to Beis Din. It's only when they see that according to your story, you have a claim, then the Beis Din, even though they don't know if you're right, you may be lying, but as long as it's based on your story, you have a claim, and the other party refuses to come to Beis Din, at that point, they will give a heter arkois. Now, one last halacha from last week is that when you do get a heter arkois, and you go to court, and you win, so the halacha, according to many poskim, is although the heter allowed you to litigate in court, it doesn't allow you to take money that you're not entitled to. And therefore, regardless of what the verdict in court is, you would have a personal responsibility to figure out what the halacha would have been and not to take more than you're entitled to. Now, as a practical matter, when a person refuses to come to Beis Din and the other party goes to court, so besides for everything else, in halacha, the person who caused this litigation is now going to be responsible to pay for your court costs. You go into court, you have to hire a lawyer. It can cost you a huge amount of money. So besides your claim, you now have an additional claim to court costs. Now, typically when you go to court, they will not award legal fees very quickly. But, and in halacha also, if you have a Din Torah and you win, you will generally not be reimbursed for the court cost of the Din Torah. But if the other person refuses to come to Beis Din and you're forced to go to court, whatever your claim is, you can now add to that all of your legal fees. So as a practical matter, in many cases, since you can add the legal fees to your halachic claim, whatever the verdict is, will probably not end up being more than you're entitled to halacha when you finish with a lawyer. And therefore, more often than not, you'll be okay. But if your lawyer happens to do a phenomenal job and you get a large award with minimal legal fees, in that case, according to many Paiskim, you will have a responsibility to refund that difference. Well, what deterrent is there for a person eating chazer? It's an avero. There's malchus over there. But the deterrent doesn't mean that we make him pay money. Very often, there are many surim in the Torah, which are over, you're over an iser, but it doesn't mean you take money out of his pocket and give it to the next person. Now, in this case, you happen to be partially right, and that is the next halacha, is there are more paskins, that if a person goes to court shaloi kedin, either a person just sues you without a heter, or in the other case, you try to bring him to Bezdin, he won't come, you get a heter arkos. It goes to court, and you win. In other words, the person who was in court without a heter arkos loses. The halacha is, what happens if the next day he comes, calls up the Bezdin, and says, you know what, I did shuva. I realize I shouldn't have gone to court, especially now that there's a $10 million judgment against me. I want to go to Bezdin, and I want Bezdin to issue what the psak halacha is. So here there are more paskins einus kaken. Bezdin will not take the case. You went to court like you did. Don't come to Bezdin after you lost and ask them to paskin al pi halacha. Now there's a major machlokes what the pshat in this is. The Nesivos and the Goyin and most of the Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch, the standard place can learn, this is a knas. You don't want to go to Bezdin. Bezdin is not going to help you out. That doesn't change the Dinei Momenus. The person who won the case, if he knows he really has more that he's entitled to Alpi Halacha, still owes the money back. And in Hilchus Gezel, he has a shayla, he has to sit down with his Rav and figure out what he's allowed to keep and what he has to return. But as far as Bezdin, once the person refused to show up in Bezdin, he went to Arkoyis, Bezdin will not deal with it, Bezdin will not help him out, and it will be Einus Kaken. Very good, very good. So the lashon of the Paiskim is that this Einus Kaken applies only when there is a final verdict. If it's in court, he sees that things are not working out, but he pulls out before a final judgment, then the halachas will accept it. The Paiskim say, this is a Einus Kaken is a knas. Once the Isser was done, once the court case is finished, there the knas applies. But before the fact, before there's a psak, if we can accept it, and by that we will minimize the arkoyas, we'll prevent the litigation from going further, we will accept the case even though we know good and well what his motivation is. On the other hand, if there is a verdict, the fact that you could appeal it, the other place can say that won't make a difference. That's Ein L'Davar Soif. Once there's a verdict, then the Beis Din will say Ein Is Kaken. He was. He was over the Isser, but this Ein Is Kaken needs more than that. Even though he was over part of the Isser, when he continues, he will be over more of the Isser. And we want to prevent the Arkoyis from continuing. It's only after the fact, there's a psak already, there's a verdict from the courts, there the Isser was done, and we say, now we're not going to get involved to help you. But before the fact, regardless of his motivation, the halacha is, we will take back the case, and we will deal with it. The knas is that Ein Is Kaken, Bezdin won't help him out. Now he's at the other person's mercy. If that person is an Erlich Yid, he'll refund the money. What will happen also, we mentioned last week, and I was involved in a case, where there was a din Torah. One party was Messiah of Love and Din, the other party got a Heter Arkos. It went to court, they start discovery. And during discovery, they found it was an investment. They found about $950,000 worth of checks written out to cash. $9,000 a piece. So as soon as that happened, miraculously, the Nitva decided to be Chozer B'Tshuva, and they're ready to come to Bezdin. There was a back and forth. The Bezdin took the case because there was no verdict, nothing had happened. They took the case. This case went on for a while. You know, as time went on, the investigation quieted down. And they started losing in Bezdin. So they decided they had enough of Bezdin, they're going back to court. Now, in this, and that's what they did. And then they went and they lost in court. But what was interesting is that in Beis Din, there were a lot of the claims that the other party would not have been able to prove. They would have had circumstantial evidence, maybe an Eid Echad, maybe a Goy, and in a Beis Din, you wouldn't be able to be Maitimam. But the other party said, we know for sure this is true, and we know we're entitled to this money. So now that they won in court, and they have the money, now it's their personal question. They have to sit down with their Rav, and they have to determine, al pi halacha, what they should give back. They don't have to work with the klolim of rayos, of bezdin, of muhsik, and edim, and migus. They believe this is what happened. They have the right to say, we're confident, this is the truth, this is what we owe, we don't owe you anything, and they're entitled to keep it. You're losing your right to go to bezdin and to have bezdin enforce the heavy dinter. Correct. In that case, if you're Messiah of Level Udin and the other person has to go to court and he gets a heter from Beis Din, then he will be responsible for the legal fees.
And then he goes back to Beis Din.
100%. No, as far as the legal fees that you had to spend, you'll be able to recover. I guess Machlokes, but according to most places, you'll be able to recover it as long as you had Rishos Beis Din. If you go to court because the other party is not coming to a Din Torah, but you never bother going through the Beis Din process, you're not going to be able to recover your legal fees. But if Beis Din sends a hazmana, he's Messiah, and they gave you a shus to go to Arkois, then you recover the legal fees as well. All right, that's probably not, but I hear the horror. So that was the first pshat. The Einus Kalkin was a knas. Beis Din, basically you lose your rights to a Din Torah. There is another pshat from the Maril Tzins, and it's brought down by a minority of Akroinim, that says that no, that once you go to Arkois, it's Kiblu Alayhu. Basically, you're agreeing, you're accepting whatever the verdict is, and therefore, once you've accepted it, you can't back out. Now, if you learn like this, that it's like a Masachla Pekuvya, again, it's a problem with the Kinyonim, exactly how it works, but if you learn like that, then whatever the verdict is, that's binding as a matter of Halacha, and that's what you owe. You're accepting it. Good. That is the second shot. The problem with that is that it's just there was never any kinyan. It was just an agreement, not even an agreement. I went to court because all the person said is I'm not coming to Beis Din. Then the counterparty filed a lawsuit. He never said I want to go to court, and he certainly never made a kinyan. And even when you do make a kinyan, because it's Arkois, the halach in Simen Chav Beis, there's a whole machloikis, when you're kabel a goy as a dayan, then the machaber holds you can be chayzer, the Ramah holds after the fact not. It's a whole machloikis over there. That's why it's not. You need a kinyan, yes. Something like this is certainly, where you're obligating yourself to additional chiyuvim that you don't owe al pi halacha, there you should need a kinyan. These pshatim have to come up with shtiklus Torah. It's Misacha Bekovia, it's both ways, but it's a kasha. If they go to court, you mean? Good. The tzadim that go with it use that kind of lumdus, but again, in technicality is how the kinyan works, it's a chiddush. And that's why most poskim argue. Most poskim say Einus Kalkin is just the knas. Now there are another number of interesting nafkaminos. First of all, what happens if you bribe the judge? So if it's a knas of Einus Kalkin that once you go to court, we're not going to help you. So once if you lose, we don't care why, whether you bribed, not bribed. The halacha is Beis Din will not get involved. On the other hand, if it's kiblu alayhu, there the Tumim says you're makabel to go with the dinei akum. You're not makabel if your counterparty bribes the judge that you'll make a payment, and therefore the Talmud says that in the Nesivos that would be a nafkamino. What would happen in such a case? Interestingly, there's a Mordechai that Taz brings it down in Simen Chav Beis that seems to argue. He says when a person goes to court, it seems the courts back then were horribly corrupt, and he basically says if you agree to go to a goyish court, you know good and well whoever gives the biggest bribe is going to win. So he says it's kiblu alayhu on whoever gives the bribe will tackle win the case. Again, it's a chiddush. I don't know if that will apply today in the United States, in other countries perhaps. But it's a machlokes seems nesivus and taz.
You mentioned the steps.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's a bit of a general, you know, hard for me to respond. I'm not familiar with the particulars of the case, but the same way there are rules of Eidus, there are rules of Umdunu. And Umdunu is a whole circuit we'll get to, but, you know, Eidus is not the only way to establish something in Bezdin. There is a concept of Umdunu, there are limitations, and it's halachas, that's why you went to a din Torah, and the Bezdin issued whatever verdict it was. But anyway, going back to this, so it'll come out that even if you bribe the coin, you have a machlekes. Now, another point to keep in mind, and this can come up very often, is what happens if a person is Messiah of Lavi Lidin. He doesn't want to come to Beis Din. Now, you know, if you sue him in court, he's going to get himself into very big trouble. Usually the kind of people who are Messiah of Lavi Lidin, that's not their only Avera. There's plenty of other garbage on their books. And the moment you start the case, I don't know if you discover you'll find $950,000 of checks written out to cash. But it's very possible you will find serious issues and you'll get the other person into trouble. What happens with the Isser of Mesira? Now, obviously the issue of Mesira is something which is very chomer. Everyone, if it comes up, you have to ask a shayla. But over here, there's a fascinating Sefer HaTrumos. Sefer HaTrumos is dealing, it seems back then, if you didn't pay your debts. So today, if you don't pay your debts and you go to court, they do a loan modification. Back then, if you didn't pay your debts, the king took an additional 33% cut. He made you pay your debt, or they threw you in jail, and you have to pay 100% to the creditor, and an additional third to the king. So Sefer HaTrumos wanted to know, what happens if the person won't come to Beis Din? But if I file the lawsuit, he's going to end up having to pay a third extra that he doesn't owe a pialacha. The nitzvah, exactly. It's a penalty for the person who didn't pay. So the Sefer HaTrumos quotes a Ramban that says it's not a problem. He says, first of all, we're going to apply Dina Malchus Dina, which is a chiddush, but that's for another time. But second of all, he says he did it to himself. If he wanted to come to Beis Din, he would have no problem. If he refuses to come to Beis Din, now the only way to collect the money is to go through this process that will cost the money, so be it. It's his responsibility, and you don't have to worry about what it will cost. The Igros Moshe extends this concept. He has a tshuva in Chelek Aleph, Simen Ches, where a person was selling, it was a butcher that was selling trey for meat, and the question was, can they go sue him in court, or do they have to go to Beis Din? So the Igros Moshe paskin, you have to go to Beis Din. He said, you have to go to Beis Din, first of all, because there's an Isser Arkois, and second of all, because if you go to Beis Din will do whatever Beis Din does. If it goes to court, he'll end up in jail, he'll end up with other punishments that al pi halacha he shouldn't be liable for. And therefore, there's an special chiyuv to go to Beis Din. But, he says, if he refuses to come to Beis Din, then, if the only way to protect the community is to sue him in court, you can sue him in court, regardless of what the consequences for the person is. Again, I'm not familiar with the details. But the bottom line is, what he's saying is that even though he will end up, the other person will end up in jail, and normally to send someone to jail is a shiloh of Mesirah, if it's being caused from the fact that he refuses to come to Beis Din, and he's forcing the issue to go to court, that's not your responsibility, and you have the right to pursue the case. Now you have to be careful. It doesn't mean, and this happens, I get this question all the time, a person is Messiah of Lavi Lidin, so the moment the plaintiff gets the heter, his first call is to the DA. There's no heter for that. The heter is to go sue him in civil court. If by suing him in civil court, he'll end up with penalties or the judge will end up referring it to prosecution, that's the defendant's problem. He should have come to Beis Din. But to do things specifically just to get him into trouble, or just to incriminate him, there you're back to a very serious shiloh of Mesira, and there you have to ask a shiloh before you do anything. You also have to be careful if you're going to incriminate a third party. The heter is that the person who refuses to come to Beis Din, you can sue him even though there will be consequences for him. But if there will be consequences for other people, then already it's not so simple, and that's again something which you have to be very careful, and you have to ask a shaila if it actually happens. Now, one ha'ara, just I'll end off with before we move on to the next part of the sugya, and that is this whole concept of einus gakin. That if someone loses in court and then wants to come to Bez and we don't listen to him, this is based on a Maharik that the Ramah brings down. The Beis Yosef argues on the Maharik, and the Mechaber does not bring this down in Shulchan Aruch. And it seems that the Sfaradi Paiskim do not go with it. And therefore, what it seems is, and again, I didn't check with any Sfaradi Bataydin, but it seems that if a Sfaradi goes to court Shaloi Kedin, and he loses, I don't think there's any that the Sfaradim follow this knas, and therefore even after the litigation they would have the right to reopen the case. Now again, what happens if one part is an Ashkenazi, the other part is a Sfaradi? You'll have a fight on your hands. But this halacha is only brought down by the Ashkenazi poskim. Beis Yosef seems to argue, and Beis Yosef seems to say, regardless, the person went to Har Kodesh like he did, that was an Isser. The Isser is the Don; he'll be responsible for damages. But it seems that that will not change his rights, and if afterwards he wants to come to within Torah, it would seem that he would have the right to do so. The next topic I'd like to discuss is a very common issue, and that is every contract that people sign today has a choice of law provision. It says, usually it's all the way at the end of the contract, along with all the other the templates that the lawyers stick in, that if there's any issue, it will be adjudicated by the courts in New York, New Jersey, Delaware, depending on the particular transaction. The question is, what is the effect of such clauses? And are you allowed to sign such a clause? If you think about it, what are you signing? You're signing an agreement that if there's any issue, we're going to go to our courts. Are you allowed to do that? So over here we have an interesting machlokes. As we pointed out, the Isser HaRakoyis applies even if both parties agree. It's not waivable. If both parties have a fight and they both say, you know what, let's both agree, let's forget about this bezin, let's go straight to court, the halacha is it's just as Asr, Mechayrif, Vagadif, Hirim, Yavitarius, Moshe, it's not an excuse. Afal Pikin, the Sefer HaTrumos, as quoted by the Tor, and the Sma follows this halacha, says that it depends on the case. If the parties agree to go to court, and in this particular issue, court and Bezdin will have the same verdict. There, everyone agrees that's an Isser HaKoyis. The Kenyan is Masa Mashkasa B'Tayra, and it's also a Kenyan Dvarim. It doesn't work, you have to go to Bezdin. But, Zok the Sefer HaTrumos, the way the Torah learns it, if this case, the person will have greater rights in our civil court than over Halacha, the Sefer HaTrumos says, the Kenyan is Chah. It's as if you were mechayiv yourself, whatever those extra rights are. The case over there is Shemitah. If you go to Bezin, Bezin will not be able to be goyiv l'choyiv. Our koyiv will be goyiv l'choyiv. So the Sefer HaTrumos says, if you specifically say this can be collected in court, it'll work. You will get the additional rights. Again, they're going with the tzadim that Shemitah b'zman hazeh is not really aser. It's just nagu, the but they didn't won't collect it. So this, what the smas and the Sefer Truma seems to say in such a case, it would be mutter. The lomda seems to be heyois. You have that these extra rights, and meizitamshu bezdin will not enforce it for you. So now it's like there's a b'makom shein bezdin, and they seem to say that it's mutter to go to arkois. Now the vast majority of the achronim argue on the smas and the Sefer Trumas. They say certainly to go to arkois will be aser at most. You will have to go to Bezdin, but Bezdin will apply and give you the rights that you would have in Arkois. Now, it's a litigation is in Bezdin, but it could be that you'll have those rights. But the Rosh does away with this whole Sefer HaTrumos. But the Rosh says, and he points out, that even back then, the Minhug was, and every time you borrowed money, the Shtar would say very clearly, you can collect it, B'nei Yisrael or B'nei Akum. They used to write in the Shtaros that if a person doesn't pay, you can go to court to collect it. The Rosh is bothered by how could you write such a lashon? There's an Isser HaKoyis. So what the Rosh says, that even though if you read the document, it seems to say that if there's an issue, you're going to go to court. We interpret it to mean that if there's an issue, the person refuses to come to Bezdin, then you can go to court. It's there to protect yourself if he's a loitzai yisdin. But the Rosh says, we do not interpret it to mean that the person is not just throwing out halacha and is going with civil law. This Rosh, is the Beis Yosef seems to go with it, and the Mechaber goes with it, and I believe this is what the Anhaga of Bat Din is, that a standard nusach at the end of the shtar, that it is governed by civil law, we presume it to mean like the Rosh. It's just there in case the person is a loitzai yisdin, you're going to have to go to court, you want to protect yourself, you want to specify which court, under which laws, and so its only effect is when he's a loitzai yisdin. If he's willing to come to Beis Din, then we will ignore the clause and we will apply halacha. No, so according to the Rosh, the standard nusach, we will interpret this to mean that if there's an issue and they won't come to Beis Din, then it'll go to court under the laws of the state of New York, New Jersey, whatever it is. But according to the Rosh, there's nothing wrong with signing it. Now, even if the person would make it very clear, I don't mean like the Rosh. If there's an issue, I'm going to court, which is going to be us, according to most Paiska. The Sma is not followed by Rav Paiska. Still, I saw that Rav Solman has a tshuva where he makes a very nice point. It's hard to say that it's also to sign the document. Why? Let's say you cross it out. You cross out that clause. And you just sign it. There's no dispute resolution clause in this document. You get into a fight. What's going to happen? He's going to sue you. The person's not from. He's saying, I'm not going. If he doesn't want to go to business, he can file a lawsuit. There's nothing he can do about that. Now, is there an issue to do business with someone because maybe if you get into a fight, he's going to sue you in court? No. There's no issue. So therefore, if someone says this clause has no effect, lahalacha, even when you sign it, it doesn't change anything. You have a chiyuv to go to Beis Din. Legally, even without any agreement, he always has the right to sue you. So really, nothing has changed. So if you have a choice and you can get him to write that if there's an issue, you go to Beis Din, you certainly try to do that. But if he refuses and you're signing it only because you have no choice, someone points out it really doesn't change anything. And since if you crossed it out, he would still have the same legal rights, there's no downside or there's no isser signing such an agreement. Oh, very good. Very good. So that's the next point. Certainly. Certainly they should write Bezdin. Not only should they write Bezdin, they should pick a specific Bezdin. Because they should pick a specific Bezdin and write it into the contract. Because once there's a fight, everyone starts scrambling with this tain and that tain, zabla, and it's a nightmare getting to a Beis Din that you have confidence in. When you're first doing the deal, it's not any respectable Beis Din you can put in the contract, parties will agree on it, you'll save a lot of agon nefesh later. It's kedai to put in a dispute resolution and specify a Beis Din or a Rav before the fact. So now this is all talking about arkois. What about arbitration? Can the parties agree, can they write in that it'll go to, the AAA or any issue will be arbitrated? So what this really brings us to is a very basic question, and that is, what is the Isser Arkois? How do we define Arkois? So in the olden days, Arkois is very simple. It was Miyakar Elilim. There was an Avodah Zarah. There was Sharia law. So if you're in a Muslim country and the courts are run by a couple of imams and they apply Sharia law, clearly, by going there, you're being miyakir alilim. That's a very simple case of the Isser Arkois. Today, the courts are not tied to a specific avodah zarah. Afo Pikein, many achronim point out that the Isser Arkois does not need an avodah zarah. Any foreign body of law, any that reflects a hashkafa not of the Torah, will be an Isser Arkois. The Chumash of Rashba deals with the following case. There was a city or a village that did not have any dayanim. Now, it was small enough that it didn't have any dayanim, but it was big enough that there was plenty of machlokes. So they needed to set up a system. If there's no dayanim, and there's a fight, parties are going to go to court. So they have to set up some sort of system. The problem is, you can't be mamana bezdin if there's no one there that knows any chalish mishpa. Oh, so zog the Rashba. The Rashba says like this. The same way there's an Isser of Arkois, what's the Mukar? There's another drasha. Lifnehem v'loi lifnehed yoytis. Which seems to say that if you have a fight, and instead of going to a dayan, you want to go to a businessman who you respect, and you can have him issue a psak, he's a hedyot. You shouldn't be able to do that. So the here, the Tshuvas Haran says there's a very basic difference between the Yisr HaKoyis and the Yisr HaDyotis. The Yisr HaKoyis you can't waive. If both parties want to go to court, it's still the same Chil HaShem, it's still awesome. The Yisr HaDyotis can be waived if both parties agree. The Yisr HaDyotis means that we can't, a city cannot set up judges that are HaDyotis. We can't take three businessmen and say every time there's a fight, these people are going to adjudicate. That's the Isser of Lefneim Lefneim. But if the parties on their own agree, you know, we have this issue, we don't want to go through the whole hassle, we don't want to go through the whole Din Torah, let's just go to this businessman, he'll work it out, he'll make a pshara. There, that would be mutter. Zok the Rashba, if you have a city where there are no dayanim, and if you do nothing, it'll end up going to court, everyone should get together, and they should all agree to accept three hedyotis, who will do the best they can. You can't force anyone to come. If anyone objects, you can't force it because they're hedyotis. But that's what should be done to prevent people from going to our courts. Zok the Chazaynish, when you set up this arbitration panel, you have to be careful. And this is loosely based, there's another Tshuvas HaRashba. Tshuvas HaRashba has a case where there was a Yerusha fight where one of the parties said, that the minhag here is to follow the Dinei Akum and follow the Goyish rules about Yerusha. So the Rashba says that no. He says, there's the Isser of Vnei Akum, the Afo Pisha Shneim Roitzim Bekach, even if both parties agree, Vuhu Dover Sheba Mamon, and it's a monetary issue, still Shloihi Nichu Toyres Ha'om Shu Vnachal Eloi, Arutzoinim Sheyakru Chukas Hagoyim V'dineihem. The Torah didn't give people the option to be miyakir elilim and to leave the halachos, v'lo yafiu la'amid lifneim ledin, and they can't even go to arkois and stand in front of them in din. But the Rashba sounds like they're two separate isurim. There's the isur of la'amid lifneim ledin going to arkois. There's another isur of leaving halacha and accepting being miyakir elilim, accepting a foreign body of law. Zok the Chazoinish. When you're setting up an arbitration panel because there are no batei din around, you can have three balabatim that they're going to listen to the case and they're going to do what they think is fair. They can't have any rules. The moment they start adopting rules, whether they're going to adopt the UCC or they're going to adopt civil law or they're going to make their own rules, now they've become our guys. We now have a different set of halacha. I mean, there's halacha. Now we have a new set of rules. And this court system is following a new set of rules. That becomes our case. So Zog the Chazaynish, if the arbitrators are just going to listen to the case, they're going to do what's fair, they're going to go with the minhag, they're going to just do what they think it makes sense, that's fine. As long as both parties agree, there's no issue whatsoever. But the moment they make their own rules, their own structures, their own laws, then you're back to our case. So if you want to accept an arbitration, I think most arbitration today, the arbitrators do not follow, are not bound to any set of rules. They don't have to follow the law. They're not judges. And even if they are judges, they're not bound to strict law. So as long as they're just doing what they think is fair, then it would be mutter as long as both parties accept it. Excuse me? So the Rashba is talking about a case where there is no city. There is no Besdin in that city. But the Rashba is talking about being memane a formal panel that these people should deal with all cases. If that's not the case, we're not setting up a system for the city. Two people have a private dispute and they want to go to an arbitration. I don't see any makar that. Okay, good. So that's slightly different. We'll get to that. Mm-hmm. Right, again, if there are no rules, it would certainly be mutter. If there is a set of rules that seems to replace halacha, it would seem to be also. But we'll get back to these cases where there's an industry specific rules in a few moments. So anyway, so arbitration itself should be mutter as long as you do not have a specific set of rules that they're following. What happens if the arbitrator is a guy? Doesn't make a difference. So over here, it's not brought down in Hilchos Arkois, but in Siman Samaches, the Drisha learns that an arbitration from a goy is not binding. And even after there's a final psak, even if you made a kinyan, you can be chayzer. The Prisha seems to understand, and it's probably Lishitase from the other sma that we said, that the Isser Arkois is going in front of a goy. Isser is going in front of a goy. The same way litigation is also. The Prisha points out that a pshara is also called mishpat. Pshara is not just, you know, just flip a coin. It's called mishpat. And therefore, if it's in front of a goy, it would be aser, and it would not be binding. However, the Prisha is really coming to argue on the Beis Yosef is pretty clearly not like this, and the Minchas Pitim and others, they say no. They say that that there's no iser, as long as it's not litigation, as long as the goy is just doing what's fair, he's not following any set of rules, then such an arbitration would be binding even if it's a goy. It's not a problem. You'll need a kinyan, you'll have to do it correctly, but according to most Paiskim, whether he's a goy or not, it will not make a difference. So therefore, these boards, again, if they're just doing what's fair, even if they're a goy, according to most Paiskim, would be mutter. So again, in the case of the arbitrator, they agree to it because it's not arkois. They're not following a set of laws. You're just, whatever this guy's judgment is, I'm willing to follow. So there you have the Aruch HaShulchan that we had on the Maror Mekoyimos, and you have others that say, the same. If you want to just follow someone's judgment or opinion, what's fair, goy, yid, won't make a difference. You make a kinyan, you're fine. The reason why the Rosh and others argue on the Sefer Trumos is there you're doing more. There you're being makabal arkois. Being makabal arkois, according to most afroyanim, is going to be aser, and even with the kinyan, it will not work. So in one case, you're being makabal arkois, where there's a foreign body of law, which is, in a sense, replacing halacha, and that's going to be aser. In this case of arbitration, there's no set law. You're just going to a guy to do what he thinks is fair, and that would work according to Kamat to all the Paiskim. So the Sma has a chiddush that says that arbitration, pshara, is also called mishpat. And the same way a goy, an arkois, there's an isser of arkois to go to arkois for mishpat. This is also a case of mishpat. Now the Sma happens to be, there happens to be a, it's a little bit svaras hafukos. The Sma which says, which the drisha and the Sma are the same. So the Sma that says arbitration by a goy doesn't work, is the one that says you can be makabel goyish laws that will work. So again, this, I don't want to go, it's going to get too complicated. The Drisha speaks it out. He's machalik whether you have additional rights or not. It only when you makabel a goy and you have additional rights, that's why it works. In the case of arbitration, that doesn't apply. And again, that's... No, it's not the same. Because Arkois is a foreign body of law that in a sense replaces halacha. Halacha says this is who's right. Law says the other person, that is Miyakar Elivim. In this case, it's not Miyakar Elivim. This guy is that you happen to like him. He's a fair person. He likes the two of you. And he's just going to work out a deal that works for everyone. It's not an Elivim. It's just a personal thing. You trust this person's judgment. According to this, I'm not sure. Generally, that won't make a difference. Generally, because if they're going to apply a foreign body of laws, even if they're Jewish, it's a problem. And if they're going to just use their judgment, according to most Paiskim, if they're a goy, it's not a problem. But in the Sma, I'm not sure. Okay, so I just want to briefly get to arbitrate to the diamond bourse or and minhag ha'seichrim. Here we have a bit of a shaila. Here we seem to have a stira. On one hand, we have the Chuvas Harajba that I mentioned before that says that speaks out two parts of the Isser. There's the Isser being of the litigation, the Fnei'akum, and there's also the Isser of accepting the Goyish laws. And what he at the end of the Chuvah, he writes, "Uvechal oiker kol dinei haTorah hashlema." By accepting Goyish laws, you mean oiker the kol dinei haTorah. Umalanu l'sifrei hakodesh hamekudoshim shechibru lanu Rebbe v'achar Ravino v'Ravashi. Why do we need the Gemara? If you can accept goyish laws, yilmadu es b'nei hem dinei goyim. send your kids to law school. There's no point in learning Cheshen Mishpat, because that's what's going to happen. V'yivnu lehem bomois teluam bebeis midrasei agoyim chalila loy tekezais b'yisrael chas v'shalom v'shem etafkar ha-toyer osak aleim akan l'shon. So Rashi says very clearly, accepting a goyim shel laws is going to be aser. And again, if you would be able to do it, then you'd be mevatel the entire Cheshen Mishpat. On the other hand, Kveger in Simon Gimel brings down a Marashach, Chelik Beis, Simon Reish Chav Tes, that says there was a place where the minhug was that whenever there was a dispute, they went to the diamond bourse, they went to a soichrim to deal with the matter. So here it seems that as long as there's a minhug to litigate in front of soichrim, it seems that it's fine. So the Boi Chai asked, that seems to be a stiro. The Rashba says you can't accept any other rules. And this Rashach seems to say that if the minog is to go with the Seichrim, you go with the minog of Seichrim. It's not a problem. So what's the difference between the two? So this is a bit of a controversy. And how you understand the answer to this kasha will make a tremendous nafkamina. The Boi Chai says the difference is like this. In the case of the Rashach, they were doing business together. They're in the diamond industry. The Rashach speaks out. That in this particular industry, I don't know, it doesn't explain what the details were, but if you follow Cheshen Mishpat, it wouldn't work. That's not the way the industry works. There's trust, there's memos, back, mazel, bra, whatever it is, Cheshen Mishpat will not work. So since I'm doing a deal with someone, it's Mecha Chumemka, and the minog is, the custom is to follow certain rules, so even if those rules run counter to halacha, if an issue comes up, we go to the Seichrim, we'll follow that, that's no problem. The Rashba is talking about Yerusha. Yerusha, there's no deal with someone. There's not nekachu memkar. There's no contract. The person there wanted to say, hey, yois, the goyim have different hilchos Yerusha, we're going to act like a goy. That the Rashba says, to act like a goy to ignore Cheshen Mishpat, that's definitely awesome. But if you're doing business with someone, and in this industry, this is how we run it, because this is the way it works, there the Boi Chai says that it's going to be mutter. Now it'll come out then if you're dealing with a specific industry, and in this industry, it will not work to apply Cheshen Mishpat. For whatever the reasons are, the industry needs certain practices and certain ways of running, and you will have to apply those rules. There, according to the Boi Chai, everyone would agree there will be no problem with going to such a panel. And the Rashach says, even if one party wants to go to Beis Din, we say no. The minhag gets to go to the Seichrim, and you will have the right to do that. Now the question is how far to take this. Does this mean, and this is Rav Nechemya and Ulam HaMishpat take it all the way, and they say anytime we have a contract, I can agree to whatever terms I want. As long as the deal between the two of us, it's Mechachu Memkar, I can accept whatever I want. And even if I accept Dine Akum, according to the Ulam HaMishpat and according to Rav Nechemya, that is no problem and the Rashba won't apply. It's only in a case of the Rashba where Tilchus Yerusha, there's no deal between the parties, and someone wants to just argue, stam, that a yid follows Gine Dine Akum, that's going to be awesome. But if we're negotiating, if it's a deal between the parties, and we accept certain rules, even if it's Dine Akum, it's not a problem whatsoever. Others are a little bit more machmer, and they say the Rashach is only talking about a case where Cheshen Mishpat would not work. Whatever the industry is, again, it's not clear what the facts were, but if applying Cheshen Mishpat, you run into problems, it's not clear what happens over there, there's a problem. If there's a problem and we need to make rules, we need to accept another set of rules to make the industry work, that you can do. But in a case where there's no problem, you could follow halacha, and you simply on your own choose to follow Dine Akum, there, according to some poskim, it would be problematic. There's an interesting fight in Eretz Yisrael. There are apartment buildings, so people get into fights all the time. You have to repair the roof, the elevator, who pays what, how to divide the cost between the different apartments. There is a set of rules in Eretz Yisrael, and there's a whole machlokes, are you allowed to follow that set of rules? If you go like the Olam HaMishpat and Rezal Menachemia, as long as when you buy the apartment you agree to follow by this set of rules, it doesn't matter that this rules is connected to halacha. You went into the deal, you went into the partnership with these terms, there's no problem. I saw the Rav Spitz has a sefer where he writes off in his Hagdama, he says accepting these rules is Dini Arkois. He tells to this Rashba, and he makes up his own alternate set of rules how to deal with it. He doesn't want it to be exactly like the law, so he makes it, you know, loosely based on halacha, and says you should accept this, you should not accept a goyish set of laws. Just to circle back, and I'll just end with this, they'll end up being a tremendous nafkamina with this shaila. Why? Because we started off in the beginning. What happens if you have litigation with someone and a person goes to arkoyish shaloi kedin? And you end up with a verdict, and you end up with more than you're entitled to. So we had a machlokes. The nesiva said, you really owe the money back, just Bezin won't help you. There was a minority opinion that said, no, it was kivlu olai. What happens if your original contract said that any issue will be governed by the laws of the state of New York? Now, if you follow these, Zalman Nechemiah and the Lulam HaMishpat, that when I have a contract with someone, I can accept any rules that I want. This or our koyis is only a hilchos yerusha or something like that. Then al pi din, even if it goes to Bezdin, we should give you all of the rights that you're entitled to according to the laws of the state of New York. Loimi boy, according to the Sma and the Sefer Trumas and all those shitas, that it always works. But even if you argue in that case where there you said you want to go to our koyis, when it's simply a question of what rules will be applied in halacha, you'll have many places that will say you will be able to apply those laws. So certainly if you go to court and you prevail based on their laws, you'll have this to be mitzarev, you know, with the other shitas that held, once you win, you win. And I think once you collect the money, the other person is not going to be able to be mitzi mamon, because you will have many shitas and you'll certainly have enough to make a kimli.